left off last week. So we were discussing the observation that Tosfos makes in our sugya, the condition of Gimel, that it would appear that chalipin is a valid method of kinyan between Jews and Jews, that's obvious, but even between Jews and Goyim, chalipin would be acceptable. What prompted Tosfos to believe that is that the Gemara was discussing the possibility of doing kiddushin with chalipin. In the end, the Gemara rejected it, but the Gemara thought that chalipin can be done even for kiddushin, just as a field can be bought with chalipin, and the field, the model field that the Gemara was looking to was Te'ephraim. So, and when he laid this Pesach Shabbos, when he got to those words, Kesav Asad HaKach Mimeni, I got all excited, Kich Kich Mis Te'ephraim. Hope everybody else was as excited as I was. So Tosfos says that just as Te'ephraim was obviously, in a sense, a Jew buying from a goy, so too, Ladoros, if you want to buy something from a goy, sell something from a goy, chalipin would be an acceptable method of kinyan. So we mentioned last week that other Rishonim learned, the Meiri quotes an opinion that maybe that's not the correct diuk in the Gemara, but we're going now b'shit to Tosfos, that chalipin would be acceptable. So Tosfos raises a red flag. How could chalipin be acceptable? Doesn't that seem to contradict a basic premise in kinyanim that appears in Maseches Bechoros, namely that the kinyani Yisrael and the kinyani goyim are different from one another? Whichever method works for a Jew doesn't work for a goy, and vice versa. The two methods that the Gemara was discussing was kesef and meshicha. There was actually a big machlokes, which is the way to do between Jews, which is the way to do between goyim. But when all the dust settled, they're different. That was the bottom line. What the nekuda that emanated from the sugya in Maseches Bechoros is that kinyani meshicha and kinyani kesef are just different. If one works for a Jew, then the other one works for a goy. The other one works for a goy, then the first one works for a Jew. So that's a given. So Tosfos said, so if that's the case, that the Gemara in Bechoros tells us that the kinyanim are different, how come chalipin seems to be a kinyan that's universal? Chalipin seems to be a kinyan that works for both. Why don't we say, just as the Gemara derived from the pasuk amisecha, the Torah uses the word amisecha, which refers to a fellow Jew, in the context of Pashas the kinyanim and Pashas Bahar, when the Torah talks about buying and selling, so it says, V'chisim kumim kal amisecha, ukon miyal amisecha. So just as amisecha draws a distinction between kesef and meshicha between Jews and goyim, why shouldn't it draw the same distinction vis-a-vis chalip? And that was the presentation of Tosfos' kasha. So before we go on to try to answer Tosfos' kasha, we have to just be 100% sure that we really have a kasha. We have to be really, really convinced that we have a kasha. It sounds like we have a kasha. The Gemara in Bechoros does exist. We didn't read it inside. It's a long, long, long Gemara. We read part of it last week. But the Gemara in Bechoros does seem to say that. So this kasha is something which Tosfos assumed to be so true, almost the Shittasam, because Tosfos was a real, real, real believer of that Gemara in Maseches Bechoros. And that may sound strange, but Tosfos believes it. The Gemara says, well, when the sugya ends, we're going to see that other Rishonim claim that the Gemara almost backed out from that line. But Tosfos is so convinced that Gemara in Maseches Bechoros is accurate, and that Gemara is the conclusion, that Gemara is the final word on Kinyanim, that the Kinyani Yisrael and Kinyani Goyim are different from one another. Tosfos is so convinced of the ultimate truth of that sugya that they pose the question from Chalipin. Let's just take a step back for a moment and see just how serious Tosfos took that Gemara. Putting aside for chalipin for a moment, which is to get us into the background to appreciate the Tosfos' question, is a long, long Tosfos on the fifth of the Maamar Makomos. Again, we're not going to read the whole Tosfos, we're just going to try to highlight the points. It's a Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, and Daf Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph. The background of the Tosfos is, referring back to what we spoke about last week, there was a machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, just how are you kona metaltalin, mina Torah? I go to the store, and I want to buy a bag of potatoes. What method do I use, midaraisa? So we mentioned that, we know the Mishnah tells us that you do meshicha, you do agbot, you pick it up, you move it, you drag it, etc. You do some kind of a physical action to which connotes ownership. So there's no question that's lemaisa what happens. But there was a machlekes, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, how do we get to that point? So Rabbi Yochanan's opinion was, that min haTorah, dvar Torah of ma'os konos, that mid deraisa you buy something by giving cash, mid derabbanon they did away with that kinyan for technical reasons, and therefore they instituted meshicha, they instituted agbah, they instituted physically lifting it, dragging it, etc. But mid deraisa Rabbi Yochanan dvar Torah ma'os konos, and Reish Lakish disagreed. Reish Lakish said no, dvar Torah meshicha's kona, dvar Torah the way to be kona metaltlin is by dragging it. Now, at the end of the day, there's not that much of a difference because Lamaisa, in Shulchan Aruch, the Psach is that Mashiach is Kona. Either it's Deraisa or Derabanan. So 99.9% of the Shas are Mut Shailas. Why are we making such a fuss about it? Because the Gemara says in Maseches Bechoros that it makes a big difference between Jews and Goyim. If you want to buy something between a Jew and a Goy, and we're going to see, but that's very important for us, that becomes critical for us in terms of Mechiras Chametz, in terms of other areas of Halachas, what method of Kinyan works between Jews and Goyim in HaTorah? So the Gemara says, you flip it. Whatever you thought between Jews and Jews works, the opposite works between Jews and Goyim, and vice versa. So if you're a Rabbi Yochanan person, who believes that Dvar Torah Mos Konos, that Minat Torah you buy potatoes with cash. So then how do you buy and sell potatoes to Goyim? Not with cash, because it has to be different. That was the whole theme of the Gemara Bechoros. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, that Minat Torah you buy metalin, you buy movable items with cash. So between Jews and Goyim, you buy it with Meshicha. And according to Reish Lakish, who said that Dvar Torah Meshicha is Konah, How do you sell, buy and sell things between Jews and Goyim? The opposite, namely through cash. So whatever you thought the din was between two Jews, flip it by Goyim, vice versa. So now comes to us and says, now we have an issue. Why? Because there is a machlokis that we've shown him, whether we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan or whether we paskin like Reish Lakish. How did this machlokis happen? There's not supposed to be such a machlokis because the Gemara says we always follow Rabbi Yochanan, except for three cases, and this happens not to be one of the three. So there's machlekes and rishonim, whether there's a fourth case. There is a Gemara in Bava Metzia that almost sounds like the Gemara supporting Reish Lakish, and that led some great rishonim to this Rashi to say, yeah, we do pass like Reish Lakish. And the Gemara says only three? Well, three plus. There's another one. It's all off the record, off the charts. And Rabbi Natan said it's not true. There is no fourth case. We pass like Rabbi Yochanan. How does this play out for us now? So it says Tosus, and there's long Tosus of Avodah Zarah. According to Rashi, who paskins, like Reish Lakish, who paskins that two Jews buy things with Meshicha, so Jews and Goyim buy things with Kesef. According to Rabbi Natan, who says that Jews buy things with Kesef, like Rabbi Yochanan, Jews and Goyim buy things with Meshicha. So when all the dust settles, we have a Machlekes, Amoraim, Machlekes, Rishonim, unresolved question, when you buy and sell to Goyim, what do you do? How do you affect the kinyan between a Jew and a Goy? Is it ultimately through Kesef, or is it ultimately through Meshicha? So now is where Tosus picks up. Because of that, Machlekes Meshicha, because of that dilemma, Tosus makes the following statement. In the fifth of the Maamar Kamos, the first word line is Ben Lakish. It's about three, six, about nine lines up from the bottom. The fifth of the Maamar Kamos, and Tosus of Arizar, Ayin Aleph, Amin Aleph. Vaharotz is the third word of the line. Those who want to be concerned both for Rashi's opinion and Rabbi Natan's opinion, why in the world am I selling something to a goy? I'm not just buying and selling potatoes from the goy, but rather I own an animal, and my animal is about to give birth, and it may be give birth to a boy, and that'll be a terrible situation because if you have an animal gives birth to a boy, a firstborn animal, so then it has Kedushas Bechor. There's nothing you can do with it. You can't shecht it. You have to wait until it gets a mum. You're not allowed to give it a mum. You're not allowed to work with it. You're not allowed to shear it. You're not allowed to do anything with it. And you're asking for trouble because if somebody by mistake shechts it, so they'll be in violation of a serious prohibition. So the only way to get around this problem is to circumvent it from scratch, is to sell part of the mother to the goy before the baby is born. The Mishnah says in Bechoras that if a goy owns even part of the animal, so then the whole din of Bechor doesn't apply. So now Tosa says, we know what we want to do, and now we're trying to figure out how to go about doing it. So how are we going to affect this kinyan? I have this animal, I have the Jewish father, have the animal about to give birth, have the goy, what do I do? So comes to us and says, Barotza lechosh adivir asher b'natam, hamakne behem al ovik yuchav, the potra b'na b'chora. If a person wants to sell his animal to a goy to exempt it from b'chor, so sheyiten ovik yuchavim kesef, v'gam meshichas ovik yuchav, b'simto l'shusha shal ovik yuchav shu shaloi. So says to us, number one, you have to give cash, the goy has to give cash, because according to some opinions, a goy is kona with kesef, but that's not enough, because since according to the other opinions, a goy is kona only with Meshicha, the goy would have to do Meshicha as well. When we deal with dragging an animal, Meshicha cannot take place in the Rishus HaMocher. I can't sell you something and have you drag it in my barn. That's not going to work. You have to drag it either into your barn, or you have to take it into a somewhat of a semi-private area where you have access to, That's also considered to be an acceptable Mashiach, it's called a Simta. But in order to say with certainty that this animal has been sold to the guy, both things must happen, Kesef and Mashiach. What's prompting Tosfos is that Gemara Maseches Becharos, that Tosfos took with the utmost seriousness, that we don't really know what the correct method of Kinyanim between Jews are. But one thing we do know for certain is that whatever works between Jews doesn't work for Goyim. Whatever doesn't work for Jews does work for Goyim. So Tosfos throws the hands up and say, well, we don't know who's right, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. We don't know who's right, Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam. And therefore, the only way to say with absolute certainty that the animal has been sold properly to exempt you from Bechor Shailas is to do both the Kinyan Kesef and the Kinyan Mashiach. We could roll the clock forward a couple hundred years, and this exact same dilemma that Tosfos has about Bechor, most of us don't have, but we do have the same dilemma every Erev Pesach. When we sell a chometz to a goy before Pesach, we want to make sure the goy owns it. We want to make sure the chol adeis, that chometz is owned by a goy, or else we have, by a rov ha'yamatzeh, we're owning chometz on Pesach. So once again, the later poskim say that those who want to sell the chometz to a goy have to make sure that the goy really owns it, and therefore you have to go back to the drawing board, you have to do kesef, and you have to do mashicha. What would that mean practically for us? The kesef part is very easy. The goy gives you a quarter for all the chometz. That's simple. The mashicha part is much more difficult. What mashicha would mean is that the goy would have to come to your house and pick up every bottle of schnapps and pick up every box of cereal and every box of crackers in your house and his house and the other guy's house and every store and every catering is that one can already begin to sense that Mr. Brown, he's a very nice guy, but that much he's not doing for us. So we're going to have to come up with better aids, better ideas how to sell our chametz to goyim. In fact, one of the solutions is what Tosfos said in our sugya, well, maybe a kinyan chalipin works. If a kinyan chalipin works, then we're home free. So let Mr. Brown give us a kli, he'll give us a watch, he'll give us glasses, he'll give us what he actually, Mr. Brown is the non-Jew who many of us sell chametz to. He personally gives us his favorite pocket knife. He carries with him, and he hands us a pocket knife as the kinyan kli for the kinyan chalipin to acquire all the chametz. That's assuming that kinyan chalipin works. So we're hoping and praying that Tosfos is right. Tosfos in Asugim was the one who said that where the kesef mashicha works, we can't tell you, but chalipin does work. So getting back to that story, we see from this Tosfos that Tosfos was very, very concerned with the Gemara Becharos, that the Gemara Becharos said, Kinyani Yisrael don't work for Goyim, Kinyani Goyim don't work for Yisrael. You have to pick the right Kinyan, says Tosfos. Make sure you get it right, and whatever the Jewish standard Kinyan is, the opposite is true for Goyim. It's because Tosfos had this problem, had the Shita, that they posed the problem. So how come Chalipin is universal? We haven't answered that question yet. We spent the first 20 minutes just developing the question. So Tosfos was bothered with the Gemara Becharos. You see they took the Gemara Becharos seriously. You see they're turning the world upside down because of the Gemara Becharos. And therefore they're bothered with the Kasha. How come Chalipin works? But truth to be told, that there are Rishonim who didn't take that Gemara in Maseches Becharos as seriously as Tosfos. There are other Rishonim who thought that that Gemara may not be the final word in the sugya. So if you take a look at two statements of the Rambam, the Rambam in the first of the Rambams in Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph, so the Rambam says, Echad abehema ve'echad shar metaltalin. Nikdin b'maos din Torah. So the Rambam says that if you want to sell either an animal or you want to sell any other movable items, so mid the araisa, the way to do it is through cash. Basically, the Rambam is poskening like Rabbi Yochanan, Torah maos konos. Once you give the money, the kinyan is over. Nobody can back out. So the Rambam is straight out of the book of Rabbi Yochanan, that Dvar Torah, Moses Konos. The problem is that if the Rambam really truly held that Dvar Torah, Moses Konos, what he should have held about Goyim, between Jews and Goyim selling, is that the flip should have been true, that Mashiach should have been Kona. The problem is that the Rambam doesn't say that. The problem is when the Rambam talks about buying and selling things to Goyim, the Rambam also talks about Dvar Torah Maos Kodos. So that seems to be a big problem. So we have two problems. We have problem number one, the Rambam seems to be contradicting himself, because the rule is what the Gemara Becharos tells us. The starting point is the Sugya Becharos, where the Gemara says that whichever kinyanim work for Jews don't work for Goyim. But the Rambam quotes that Kiddin Kesef works for Jews, and the Rambam quotes that Kiddin Kesef works for Goyim as well. So we have two problems. The first problem is it's a contradiction in the Rambam. Our more immediate problem is that we don't have this Rambam here because the Maror Mochem here was not printed out properly. So Frank Dahl, halacha, hey, I don't know what it's supposed to be, but that's what I'm looking at this Rambam saying, this is not what it's supposed to be saying here. So sorry about that little typo on that one. But the bottom line is, there is another Rambam out there that says that Torah works both for Jews and for Goyim. So what's the answer to the Rambam Shita? So the answer is obvious, that the Rambam obviously assumed that sugya is not the final word. Why did the Rambam assume that sugya is not the final word? So we're not going to go all the way back to that Gemara Maseches Bechorot. It was a long, long sugya. But there's one line at the very end of the Gemara that makes it sound like the Gemara is backing out. Because the entire principle for that sugya, that the Kinyani Yisrael don't work for Goyim and vice versa, is based on the magic word La'amisecha. The Torah says, V'chisim kurmunka La'amisecha. If the word La'amisecha means something else, there's some other drasha that's derived from La'amisecha, that may throw a monkey wrench into the conclusion of that sugya. So the Nosei Kelim, the Mefarshim, and the Rambam point out that the Rambam clearly assumed that the sugya is not true at the end. At the end of the day, there is no such distinction between Kinyani Yisrael and Kinyani Achim, which makes life great for us at two levels. First of all, it solves the whole dilemma about how to sell things to Goyim. How to sell things to Goyim? Easy. Kesef, whatever. Easy. Whatever you want to do. Kesef, Shiva. Whatever you figure out, the easiest kidding possible is going to work between Jews and Goyim. Even Kesef's going to work. That would make life easy for selling our animals. That would make life easy for selling our chametz. And number two, it would make life much easier for us in terms of chalipin. Because the simple reading of the Gemara in Kiddushin is that Chalipin works for Goyim. So Tosfos asks the Kasha, how could Chalipin work for Goyim? Gevalt, it's a Yisrael, it's a Jewish Kinyan. How could the Yisrael Kinyan work for a Goy? So we don't know the answer to that question yet. So the Rambam would say, huh? I never heard of that question. According to the Rambam, there never was such a question. So according to the view of the Rambam, we have no problems with Chalipin working for Goyim. We never had a problem in the first place. According to the Me'iri from last week, Chalipin Taka doesn't work for Goyim. So we have two extremes. According to the Rambam, it's obvious that all Kinyani Yisrael work for Goyim. So Chalipin works for Jews, works for Goyim. That's the simple Shita. Then you have the other extreme, the Me'iri, that Chalipin doesn't work for Goyim because all Kinyani Yisrael don't work for Goyim. And then you have Tosfos walking a tightrope. Tosfos is walking right smack in the middle, trying to keep them from falling off. Namely, generally speaking, Kinyani Yisrael don't work for Goyim. But Chalipin is different. And that takes us back really to our main question, Manishtana Chalipin. What is it about Chalipin that's so radically different that enables us to say it works for Jews, works for Goyim, everything is great? So strangely enough, the Rishon that may solve the problem for Tosfos is the Rambam. As we said before, the Rambam doesn't have the problem, but the Rambam can still be called in for part of the solution. So if we take a look at the next page of the Maror Kamos, I think this one is correct. In the 8th of the Maror Kamos, in Hilchos Mechira Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Aleph. So the Rambam writes, "Hamachlif kelim mekelim ubehema behema, afilu machat the shirin, some other kind of a kliyot tleb sus." If you're switching anything, you're doing any kinds of chalipid, you're switching animals for animals, you're chasing kelim for kelim. Ein lo onoya. The didim of onoa don't apply. The Rambam always uses the word onoa. He spells it with a hey for some reason. And everyone else spells it with an aleph, and the Rambam spells it with a hey. So the Rambam says there's no didim of onoa. All the didim of honoa, whatever it's called, doesn't apply. Onoa means when you cheat someone.
Translated, right?
No, not this. The Mishnah Torah was Hebrew. That was the words of the Rambam himself. So the Isser in the Torah of Ono'ah, that I'm not allowed to overcharge you, or the other party's not allowed to undercharge, I'm not allowed to cheat a person in terms of the price. And if you do cheat a person, so then there are consequences that the sale can sometimes be nullified, or the Ono'ah has to be returned, or a whole sugi in the fourth paragraph of Metzia, what do you do if a person violated Ono'ah? Says the Rambam in one fell swoop, Ono'ah doesn't apply to a kid in Chalipin. If you're swapping an item, I'm swapping a horse for a donkey, I'm swapping a pen for a watch, whatever you're doing, there's no onoa whatsoever. The whole parsha of onoa doesn't apply. So the Rishonim are not sure, where did that come from? What kind of din is that? There's no onoa when you're buying and selling to Chalip, and what's going on? So the Ktzos says that the Rambam got it right out of the Pesuk in Chumash. The Torah says, V'chisimkaru mimkro la'misecha, okono miyada misecha. When you buy and you sell, you're not allowed to cheat somebody, and if you cheat somebody, then there are going to be consequences. Says the Ktzos, Chisimkru Mimkar, Okano means buying and selling. Chalipin is not buying and selling. Chalipin, we call it something, it's called bartering. Chalipin is a different parsha in Chumash. There's a different din lagamre called, there's Mechira, And then there's chalipin. Chalipin is not a subcategory of mechira. Chalipin is a different type of a setup, a different type of an arrangement. It's a barter. And therefore, ono is a chiddush haTorah. Ein l'chabal chiddushay, that the chiddush haTorah was only said when you buy and sell, not when you barter.
I'm talking about between Jew and Jew.
Yeah, the Rambam is not saying one way or the other, right? The Rambam is talking about Jew and Jew, right? So now, based on that ketos, now we can begin to understand what Tosos is talking about as well. What was the source for the halacha that we differentiate between Kinyani Yisrael and Kinyani Akum? The word Amisecha. Where does the word Amisecha appear? Lo and behold, in the same sukkum as Ono. V'chisimkru mimkra la Amisecha. O kanomiyad Amisecha. Al tonu isha sachiv. So there are two halachas that are found in this pasuk. One is the Parshas HaKinyanim, and part of the Parshas HaKinyanim is differences between Jews and Goyim. The second thing that appears in this pasuk is the Yisr of Ono, the consequences of Ono. Comes a ketos in one fell swoop with Das Aram and says, but med devar mamur of this pasuk applies, as the Torah introduces, v'chisimkru mimkra okana, when it's mekach o memkra, buying and selling, then all of the following halachas are true. There's an Yisr of Ono. There are consequences of Ono. There are differences between Jews and Goyim. All the dinim that are derived from this pasuk are predicated on the assumption that you're buying and selling. What the Rambam just told us is that when you're doing chalipin, you're neither buying nor selling. You're bartering. Bartering is a different parashah legamri. Bartering is not bound by any of those limitations. So according to the ketos, we have now a solution conceptually why Tosfos tells us that chalipin applies to a guy. Chalipin is a universal, I can't say a Kenyan, it's not a Kenyan. Chalipin is a universal way of transferring ownership, a universal barter. In the side of Shulchan Aruch in Cheshiv Mishpat, there is a suggestion that's given by the Sefer Chochma Shlomo, Reb Shlomo Kluger, where he suggests a whole different reason why is it that Chalipin is a universal Kinyan. Not based on a pasuk that exists, a kosov that the Ketzos is saying, but based on something about Chalipin that we spoke a little bit about last week. Chalipin is different from other Kinyanim in the sense that Chalipin is more of a subjective Kinyan rather than an objective Kinyan. An objective kinyan means the Torah gives us very, very specific methods of acquisition. According to some, there's kesef, and some there's meshicha, and there are several others, agbah, and yad, and chotzer. There are many, many different kinyanim that are part of Parshas HaKinyanim. Some appear in Parshas Bahar, some appear derived from other areas of halacha. There are objective kinyanim that don't change according to the time and place. Then you have another concept of a kinyan that we spoke about, a kinyan tzitumta. If the custom is to put stamps on barrels and to consider that to be a sale, so be it. So the halacha accepts what's called the minig ha-socher. Whatever the normal, if the normal minig is, shaking hands, the minig is you sell diamonds, mazel or bracha. Whatever the minig ha-olam is, in that time and place, that's considered to be a kinyan in and of itself. The Dvar Avram had a chiddush gadol for us, we spoke about this last week, who said that kinyan chalipin is the second type of a kinyan. Kinyan chalipin is not really an objective kinyan. Kinyan chalipin doesn't get its strength from some pre-existing halacha Moshe Mesinai called Vaydabashem Moshe Lehmadu chalipin. Chalipin gets its strength from Vizos lefanim b'Yisrael al gula v'al tmur l'kayim v'davar. That was the minig. The minig ha'olam was, and the minig ha'olam still is, at least in our world, in the Jewish world, the minig ha'olam is that when you give a symbolic gesture, you give a handkerchief, you give a watch, you give a pen, we consider that to be minig ha'soichim, that's derech ha'soichim, and therefore it's considered to be a kinyan. Now this is a Didman HaTorah. The Chum didn't make this up, says the Dvar Avraham. The Chum had a Mesorah that one of the methods of Kinyanim is Minig HaSeichem. It's just that Chalip, it happens to be that lucky type of Minig HaSeichem. Says the Chochmah Shlomo, the fact that Chalip is so radically different from other Kinyanim that it doesn't get its strength independently, it doesn't get its strength objectively from being a Kinyan, but rather it's a Kinyan because it is a Minig HaSeichem. Now we understand why conceptually there's no difference between Jews and Goyim. What does it make sense to say there's almost like a gzeirus hakosov that there's a difference between Jews and Goyim? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu, told him certain kinyanim, the kinyan kesef, or the kinyan meshicha, whether it's a kinyan chotzer, whatever the different kinyanim that were presented to us in the Toshav Chsav, the Toshav Apeh, when they're presented as absolute, ironclad, written in stone, kinyanim b'chol makom b'chol zman, so one of the conditions, one of the limitations on kinyanim is, lami sechoksiv, that for whatever reason, that's the way it is, that kinyanim are different in Jews and Goyim. Certain kinyanim are different. But chalipin was never given in that way. Chalipin is a different kind of a kinyan. Chalipin is a response to what the metzias ha-dvarim is. The metzias is that people buy and sell in such a manner. People buy and sell, whether they're Jews, whether they're Goyim. If Goyim do chalipin, if a Goy considers that, if in the Goyish marketplace chalipin is normal, so then it's normal. So if everyone's doing it, if it's an acceptable method of kinyan, it's like to say, would anybody say, a handshake is only good between Jews, a handshake between Jews and Goyim is no good. That doesn't make any sense. If the Goyim consider it to be a Kenyan, so it's also considered to be a Kenyan. So according to this Chachma Shlomo, what differentiates Chalitma from other Kenyanim is not so much that it's called bartering rather than selling, not so much like the Rambam Sheet, like the Ketzos, but rather the strength, the very essence of a Kenyan Chalipin is a different type of a Kenyan than the other Kenyanim. It's more of a subjective Kenyan, Lefiyah Mokhl, Lefiyah Zman, rather than an objective Kenyan like the others. So everybody has to agree, according to Tosfos, there's some kind of a difference conceptually between Chalipin and other Kenyanim, because Tosfos is telling us, a big Chiddush, Tosfos is telling us that other Kenyanim don't work for Goyim necessarily, Chalipin does. Now again, there are extremes in other Rishonim. The Meiri says that Chalipin doesn't work between Jews and Goyim. The Rambam says Chalipin obviously does because all Kenyani Achom and Yisrael are all the same. The Rambam rejected, in the end of the day, that whole Gemara was rejected according to the Rambam. But we're walking the tightrope within Shittas HaTosfos that Kenyani Yisrael and Kenyani Achom are different. Chalipin somehow remains the same. Either it remains the same because it's bartering, it's not really selling, or it remains the same because it's coming from the Minhag HaOlam, unlike being an objective Kenyan. At the end of the day, this is not just, you know, some theoretical if it would be theoretical lumdus, it would also be good, but it's not just some lumdus shayla cheshemish, but this has very real ramifications. We said before it has ramifications for selling animals for Bechor, and for us it has real ramifications for selling chametz. There's other ramifications as well, we'll talk about hopefully as we go on. So we have to make sure we get this right. We have to figure out, are we really convinced that Tosfos is right, that Chalipin is good for between Jews and Goyim? Tosfos pretty convinced of that. They thought they had a raya from our Gemara, which Meiri rejected. Hopefully that's from tomorrow. We have to go back to the drawing board and see, is Tosfos really, truly right? Is it really, really true that Chalipin is acceptable for Goyim, with all the potential ramifications that we have for myself? Hopefully that's from tomorrow. We'll go back to that Tosfos. Now that we gave a conceptual understanding of Tosfos, we have to check the rayas in the Gemara. Is Tosfos accurate?